إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our creation as human beings, He mentions the fact that we have distinction over every other part of His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a certain virtue and honor to the children of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also mentions the fact that when it comes to human beings, in terms of some over others, some of them have certain virtues over others, in terms of the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Some people, they have better looks than others. Other people, they have more knowledge than others. Other people, they have more money than others. Other people have a better voice than others. Other people might be stronger than others. And we could go on and on and on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. Look at how we have favored certain people over other individuals. And one of the reasons for this is because of the fact that through this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests certain people with others. For example, those that were given, will they become arrogant or will they become grateful? And for those that were not given, will they become patient or will they become envious and jealous? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in regards to this, He says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. That as much as distinctions we see in this dunya among people, in terms of those that have and those do not have, the distinctions in the akhirah, they are significantly more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the fact that certain of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have virtue over other of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that He says in regards to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, as example, the Ulul Azam, those that are the five greatest prophets of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We have given certain virtue of some prophets over that of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. In a similar way, certain places on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them virtues over other places on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding Mecca, and one of the other names of Mecca as it is mentioned in the Quran is Bakka, بِبَكَّةِ مُبَارَكَ. This is a blessed land through the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Similarly, when it comes to Bayt al-Maqdis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in regards to Bayt al-Maqdis, He says, Masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawla. That entire region is blessed. Similarly, we find that when it comes to certain times, certain seasons, and the reason for this is so that we might become more motivated. Certain times in the year, they have virtue over other times of the year. We pass the month of Ramadan, as we all know, and right now we find ourselves also in one of these blessed times. But the question to ask yourself is this. When it came to Ramadan, all of us were preparing. The masajid, when it came to the night of Taraweeh, the first night, it was packed right to the back. Even in the days in which Taraweeh was extremely late and Salatul Isha was extremely late, proven in the city of ours at 11:30 p.m. when Ramadan was at that time of the year, we still found the entire masjid packed right to the back because people understood the value of Ramadan. When it comes to, however, the days of Dhul Hijjah that we find ourselves in, people don't understand the value of these days, even though the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah have more value than the last 10 days of Ramadan. The nights of Ramadan are more virtuous than the nights of Dhul Hijjah, but the daytime of Dhul Hijjah is more virtuous in the last 10 days of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes this clear in the Quran through the fact that he takes an oath by these special days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he takes an oath in the Quran, he does not do so except by something which is great in and of itself. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oaths by those things which are great as part of his creation. As an example, the sun. Can life exist without the sun? Could we have what we have here today without the sun and the fact that all life depends on the sun? We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. When it comes to also the stars, some of the stars are magnitudes larger than the sun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by those as well. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. When it comes to, for example, time and the concept of time, this is a great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also takes an oath by this. وَالْعَصْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by great parts of his creation. And among those things that he takes an oath by as well is the fact that he takes an oath by these days that we find ourselves in, by saying وَالْفَجْر. By the dawn. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْر. And by the 10 nights, in reference to these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, as mentioned by the Mufassirun. وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Do you understand the virtue of these days? The reality is that most of us, unfortunately, do not. When it comes to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and Nabi ﷺ, he mentions in one narration that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمْلُ الصَّالِحْ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. That there are no days in which a person does good deeds that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than they do these good deeds than those deeds that are done in these blessed 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they responded by saying, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this we actually learn a lesson as well. What the Sahaba thought about jihad, about the virtue of jihad. And none of us, or many of us, unfortunately don't understand the reality of this. If it was not for jihad, Islam would not exist today. The mushrikeen would have destroyed the Muslims at the Battle of Badr. If it was not for jihad, Muslims would have not expanded, and many of us here would not have even been Muslim if it was not for the Battle of Qadisiyah and the Battle of Yarmouk, through which Islam expanded and we're able to call ourselves Muslimin. If it was not for jihad, it would not have been the fact that when colonial powers were attacking Muslims, or when the Mongols were attacking Muslims, or in today's time the Zionists are attacking Muslims, Muslims would not have had that quality within them to defend the rights of their Muslim brothers and sisters. We might not understand this, but the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in definitely understood this, and this is why this response was given, because they understood the value of this principle of defending your Muslim brothers and defending the faith of Islam and standing up for justice wherever it might be. And as Muslims, we need to become from those that are proud of this fact and not be from those that are dissuaded by the enemies of Islam that make us feel a certain way about our concept of defending our Muslim brothers and sisters and that which is actually true and right. When it comes to this aspect, the Sahaba, they said, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ responds by saying, وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Not even jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for in one case. Illa rajulun kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi wa lam yarja' min dhalika bi shay. Except for a man who goes out with himself and all of his money and he does not come back with any of it. To put this in perspective, almost all of us, if not all of us here, when we see the images coming out of Gaza, we have given something towards Gaza. Some part of our money has gone there. Almost certainly every single person here has given something when we see and we feel helpless and we want to do something. Think about this, that the actions that you do in this month of Dhul Hijjah, if it is two raka'at, and you gave every single dollar and cent that you have in your bank account, all of it towards Gaza, these two raka'at you are doing in the month of Dhul Hijjah would be more virtuous than this, unless you went yourself to defend those brothers who are being oppressed in this way. So we truly understand the virtue of this month of Dhul Hijjah when we put it into perspective. That we really need to understand and try to do our best in terms of the a'mal and the worship that we're doing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these blessed days. One of those acts of worship that a person could do in these blessed days, as it is mentioned in a narration narrated by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, in reference to something we might have seen on our cell phones yesterday morning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned in this narration narrated by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, that anna an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam marra bi Sa'din wa huwa yatawadda. He passed by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and he was making wudu, and he said to Sa'd, he said, ya Sa'd, ma hadha as-saraf. He said, oh Sa'd, what is this wastefulness? Now Sa'd, he was making wudu, and he thought to himself that if there's any time where maybe I should use more water, it's in my worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanted to make myself extra clean and sparkly and shiny. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Sa'd, ma hadha saraf? Sa'd, he responded by saying, Afil wudu'i saraf? He's saying that in wudu, is there any wastefulness? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Na'am, wa in kunta fi nahrin jar. He said, yes, even if you were by on the banks of a flowing river. That even in this case, there could be wastefulness of water. Now when it comes to this aspect, let us try to be from those that conserves water, not for the purpose primarily of trying to help the city, although this is part of Islam as well, being kind and compassionate towards our neighbors, being from those that does not blockade and stop people from the right of water, and not taking more than our fair share. This is part of our morals and traditions as Muslims, which surpass any other type of morality. But firstly and foremost, we do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is a great act of worship, and this is part of the beauty of Islam, of conserving water, and not being from those that takes hour-long showers and wastes that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. This is one element that we could perhaps revive in these blessed first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, given the fact that the critical water infrastructure, as we know, in our city of Calgary has been damaged. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he also mentions another aspect of which we should try to do as much as we can in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعَظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That there are no days which are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you do good deeds therein. And he says at the end of this particular riwayah, he says, فَأَكْثِرُهُنَّ مِنَ التَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ. He says that in these days, be from those that is saying as much as they can, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and Alhamdulillah. Be from those that reminds themselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes mention of His remembrance as much as you can in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, He also mentions in the Quran, He says, وَيَذْكُرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the known days. And the Mufassirun, they say that this refers to the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. As some trivia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in another ayah of the Quran, an ayah which is very similar. He says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah in the numbered days. And the Mufassirun, they say that this refers to أيام التشريق, those 3 days which follow عيد الأضحى. So for these 13 days, let us try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as it is that we are able to do so. When it comes to other aspects of ibadah, we find that all of them, the major aspects of Islam and worship, they are restricted. What do we mean by this? When it comes to our prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The prayers, they are at fixed times. Salat al-Fajr, Salat al-Maghrib, these are at fixed, specified times. When it comes to our zakat, there's a specified time for it. 1 year elapses over our money, in which the money that we had is above the amount of nisab, then it is only due upon us to give and spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of our religious obligation. When it comes to the fasting of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not legislate this at any time, but rather فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمْ وَالشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Only at a specified month are you required to fast. When it comes to Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرُ مَعْلُومَاتِ. Hajj is in a specific month, it's not at any time of the year. However, when it comes to dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make any restriction with respect to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in fact, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. And among those that will be given Jannah, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Those men and women that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guarantees and He promises them a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about us. He says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, whether you're lying down on your bed, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as it is that you're able to do so. When it comes to the days of Dhul Hijjah, a lot of times we only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of the Fajr of Yawm al-Arafah. And then we say the takbir there. At the Fajr of Yawm al-Arafah, at that day, then we say at the end of the prayer, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. This is something which is good. This is called the takbir muqayyid, the specified takbir at a specific time. But there is also the takbir mutlaq, the one which is general, the one which you should say in your car, the one you should say in the marketplace when you're going shopping as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in used to do. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as it is that you can. Now when it comes to this principle as well, take assessment of yourself. How much in a daytime do you remember Allah? And the point being here is that whatever you love, you will think about it a lot. If you love your work and what you do, you'll think about it a lot. If you're a person that loves your studies, you will think about it a lot. If you love specific hobbies, you will think about it a lot. If you love specific TV shows or video games, you will think about those a lot. If you love a specific person, you will think about her or him a lot. If you love the playoffs, this will be on your mind constantly, and you'll think about that a lot. Ask yourself, how much in a day do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the more that you remember Him, the more that you'll become closer to Him. And this is a sign of your connection to your Creator. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they think about Him, and they have an intense love of their Creator. Let us try to build up this habit. This is a season for doing so in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. When it comes to this month of Dhul Hijjah, the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best deed in fact that a person could do in these days, is to go for Hajj yourself. This is the best deed that you can do in this specified time. And in fact, one of the scholars, Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he mentions that among the distinctions and reasons for which Dhul Hijjah is so honored is the fact that it is the only time of the year that a person could perform their prayer. They could give charity, they could fast, and they can go for Hajj. There's no other time of the year that all of these major elements of Islam are combined in one way like this, and this is part of its distinction. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in one narration regarding Hajj, he says, Al-Hajj mabrur laysa lahu al-jaza' illa al-jannah. Al-Hajj mabrur laysa lahu al-jaza' illa al-jannah. That in accepted Hajj, there's no reward for it except for Jannah. Unfortunately, there are many Muslims that they might go on vacation here and there, wherever, and they might build a big house for themselves, buy an expensive fancy car, and they'll say, I'm gonna go sometime for Hajj. But it's not something primarily on their priority list. It's not something they really think about, and it's something which they delay. And as a believer, understand this principle that the Prophet ﷺ is telling you that if your Hajj was accepted, there's no reward for it except for Jannah. And for a person that does not have the desire to go for Hajj, this shows a weakness of your iman. In fact, we find that Ibrahim ﷺ, he made a dua, he said, وَجْعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. He made a dua that he wants this place of Mecca. For the believer, it becomes a place he wants to constantly return to. If you have this quality within yourself, you've gone for Umrah once, or you've gone for Hajj once, and now you have this yearning, I want to go back there. And you're not going back there for any reason apart from worshipping your Creator. Because what's there? It's just heat. There's nothing special about there. There's no vacation facilities as we see in perhaps more tropical locations. You're going there really for one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to worship your Creator. If you have this quality, this shows a sign of iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those that has this great quality. When it comes to the Hajj itself, there are many wisdoms that a person can derive from the Hajj rituals and the fact and this pillar of Islam. When we think about Hajj, there are certain things that we should think about which come to our mind. Perhaps it might be the tawaf, perhaps it might be the sa'i, perhaps it might be many things. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Hajj, the chapter in the Quran that is titled Surah Al-Hajj, and we read the first ayah of this particular surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about tawaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about the sa'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about the jamarat, the stoning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about Arafah. But the first ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum, inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed the trembling of the hour is something which is great. And this tells us of the fact that Hajj in many ways is a reminder of us for Yawm al-Qiyamah. We'll mention some examples of this. This is one example of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He starts off Surah al-Hajj by talking about Yawm al-Qiyamah. When it comes to a person that is going for Hajj, a lot of times you would go without your children. So you'd make plans for your children, they're going to stay here, they're going to stay there. You would make plans for everything else which needs to be taken in terms of your life while you are away for those 2-3 weeks. And in a similar way, you might also go to people and ask them for forgiveness because now you're going for Hajj. This is a reminder of the fact that eventually a time will come where we need to prepare for the fact that eventually we will leave this dunya. And we will leave those people behind. We need to ask for forgiveness right now. We need to be from those that prepares our children that we might not come back from now. And be from those that really understands at a certain point we will definitely leave this dunya. Another part of Hajj as well is the fact that before you go and you don the ihram, part of the ritual is you are wearing the ihram, and before this, part of the rituals of wearing these garments is that you take a ghusl. A time will come in which you will not take your own ghusl, but somebody else will wash your body. And you will also be wrapped in two white garments at the time of your death. This act is also a reminder of the fact that every single person will certainly taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. We find that when a person goes for Hajj, you find everyone wearing the exact same garments, these two white cloths. And irrespective of their financial standing, irrespective of their marital status, irrespective of the fact that they are strong or weak, irrespective of the fact that they are healthy or they are sick, all of them, they look the same on this plane. And it becomes an equalizer for all people, irrespective of their nationality or their race as well. And we find that as believers, as human beings, that death is the great equalizer as well. Every single person, irrespective of how much money you might have, every single person will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, some people think that because I have a lot of money, I'm going to live longer. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. But this is not true. Every single person, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And the Hajj, it reminds us of this particular principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He chose the location for Hajj, He could have chosen it anywhere on His earth. He could have chosen it in Hawaii. He could have chosen it in the Bahamas or in the Maldives or in places that are tropical. But He decided to choose it in a place which it can get up to 50 degrees Celsius, the heat of the sun. People feel that in Arafah and when they are making tawaf and in all of these locations. And this becomes a reminder of the fact that a day will come wherein the sun will be brought a mile away and people will sweat in accordance with their deeds. Some people will be drowning in their sweats. In their sweat, this becomes a reminder also of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. The Hajj, it also reminds us of the fact that when a person is on Arafah, on that great day, Al-Hajj Arafah, the pinnacle of the Hajj, when a person is on that plane and they're on Jabal Rahmah, around millions of other Muslims, and they are gathered in this location, it becomes a reminder of them as well that a day will come in which they will be gathered at the Mahshar, with not millions, but rather billions of human beings, from the beginning to the end of time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ لَمَجْمُعُونَ إِلَىٰ مِقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Say that from the beginning and the end, all of people, they will be gathered at a specified location and time on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that realizes this. When we see people going for Hajj, and we're not people that are simply heedless, the summer is coming up, the playoffs are on, things are going on, but we become from those that realizes the significance of Dhul Hijjah, and are not people that are focused on and in a state of ghafla and heedlessness. When it comes to Ramadan, people, they come back to Islam. When it comes to Dhul Hijjah, unfortunately, the reality is not exactly the same. When it comes to the best time in Dhul Hijjah, we all know that the best time of this is the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in fact in one hadith, he says, أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةَ. That the best day is the day of Arafah. And there are specific things that a person should try to do on this blessed day. There are specific things that a person should try to do on this blessed day. It's mentioned in a narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says that there is no day in which people's necks are saved from the fire of Jahannam more so than the day of Arafah. And it's mentioned regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yubahi bihimul malaika. When he sees people that are making dua and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically when they're making dua, khayru dua, dua yawm Arafah. The best dua that you can make is the dua made on the day of Arafah. And when a person is doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yubahi bihimul malaika. He boasts about these people to his angels. And what does he say? He says, ma arada haula. What do these people want? Imagine a person that is heedless of this. Summer's coming up, it's going to be Saturday. You might be in the mountains, you might be enjoying time with your family. But imagine you lose this opportunity where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to make dua, He would boast to His angels and say about this person and these people, that what do these people want? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not give you? Let us try to take advantage of this as much as it is that we are able to do so. خَيْرُ الدُّعَى دُعَى يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also mentions the best statement that you could say on Yom Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which will be on Saturday. The best thing that you can say, وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And the best thing that I have said, not only myself, but including the prophets before me, is to say what? لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Try to say this as much as you can on the day of Arafah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentions that there's a chance for a person to have all of their minor sins forgiven here as well. سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صوم يوم عرفة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah, and he said يكفر الصنة الماضية والباقية. It expiates the minor sins of the year previous and of the year coming. We find ourselves at the time of the year in which we're close to the summer solstice. So Salat al-Fajr comes in at 3 o'clock around, and Salat al-Maghrib is around 10 o'clock. And despite this, try your best. If you can't fast all of these 9 days, as was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, then try your absolute best to fast at the very minimum the day of Saturday, which is the day of Arafah, for this virtue. And this will feel as though it is nothing when you consider the fact that يوم القيامة نقداؤه 50,000 سنة. It's a day in which it is 50,000 years. كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. You'll feel as though you lived at that day on Yawm al-Qiyamah for simply a morning or an evening. The day of Arafah is also a day in which it is mentioned that there was once a person from the Jewish tradition that came to Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said that there's an ayah in the Quran that if it was revealed to us as the Jewish people, we would have taken it as a day of Eid, as a day of celebration. We would have taken it as a day of Eid, as a day of celebration. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, what is this ayah? And he said the ayah, الْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. He said that on this day we have completed your religion. We have perfected our favor over you, and we have made pleasing to you Islam as a religion. And this is because of the fact that the Jewish people believe their religion has not been completed yet. As we all know, they are waiting for their Messiah, which they had missed, to come. They are waiting, still awaiting this, and their religion has not been completed as such. But he is saying that if this ayah was revealed to us as the Jewish people, we would have taken that day as a day of celebration. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, I know the time and place this was revealed. It was revealed on the Friday, on the day of Arafah, on the plains of Arafah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving his khutbatul wada', his farewell sermon. And as a believer, be one that reads the farewell sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving his last major address to 100,000 of the Sahaba that are witnessing his speech, and they conveyed it to all corners of the earth literally. And you are seeing that what is Islam, and what is the representation, and what does Islam actually entail? This was found in the Khutbatul Wada'. We won't mention it in its entirety, but some parts that we can take away from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this speech, he mentions that inna amwalakum ودماءكم وأعراضكم حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا. He's saying from a Muslim to another Muslim, in terms of their blood, in terms of their money, some people they like to cheat other people, in terms of their honor, some people like to backbite and speak ill of other people, is haram for you. There's a sanctity to it, and it is haram for you, just as there's a sanctity and a hurma of this day and of this place and of this time that he found himself in. The month and day and time that he was in on the plains of Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ is saying in a similar way, in fact in a greater way, that you find a hurma. You won't want to do something haram in that location when the Prophet ﷺ is there in front of you in his farewell sermon. You would feel ashamed to do so. In a similar way, there's a sanctity, a greater sanctity of a Muslim towards another Muslim. Another part of this speech, and we'll conclude with this point, is something which is only found in the tradition of Islam. When you look at all other religions, they don't have this principle. Secularism has this principle, but only very recently. And this came about in the last perhaps 50 to 100 years at its absolute maximum. But Islam spoke about this over 1400 years ago. And that is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ on the plains of Arafah, in his speech, he mentions the fact that لا فضل لعربيين على عجمين ولا عجمين على عربيين ولا الأبيض على الأسود ولا الأسود على الأبيض إلا بتقوى الله. And he says, النَّاسُ مِنْ آدَمْ وَآدَمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, he's saying that there's no virtue of an Arab over a non-Arab. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying this as an Arab himself. He could have very easily have said that there's virtue over us, over those around us. But he did not do so. This is the justice of Islam. Nor a non-Arab over an Arab. Nor a black person over a white person. Nor a white person over a black person. Other narrations mention nor a red person over a white person either, or a black person. there except by the taqwa and piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, the one that is most virtuous and honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has taqwa and consciousness and fears Him more than anybody else. He also mentions another point at the very end of this, when he says that an-nas min Adam, an-nas, that people are from Adam alayhi salam, wa Adam min turab, and Adam alayhi salam was from dirt, from dust. So don't become one that is arrogant. And again, when it comes to racism, a lot of people, they feel as though because of the way that they were created, because of my birth, because of my birthright, I am one that is the chosen person of God. Islam is just and Islam is moral, and the fact that we are not saying we are better than any other person by any means, except for the fact that we have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are a person with a good heart, a person that worships their creator, a person that knows their creator and treats other individuals with respect and honor that they deserve, and are people of justice as is dictated us to us by our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that does the best that we can in these days of Dhul Hijjah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that are not heedless and in a state of ghafla in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, which are more blessed than any other day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua on the day of Arafah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the difficulty of those individuals that are facing hardship in these blessed times and blessed locations, as we have mentioned as well. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهده لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أول بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداءك أعداء دين. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم ارزقنا صلاة في مسجد الأقصى وهو حر عزيز. اللهم إنا نسألك فتح مبينا. اللهم إنا نسألك نصرا قريبا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله الذي يذكركم واشكره على نعيم زدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.